why we have to always be holding a bake sales or anything to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
And, but we didn't have money. The girls did have quite a bit of money.
But that was our own money.
Well, the team money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No $1,000 tournaments there.
No, no. But I think we could have had probably about $800 by this time. We had enough money to afford to, but we could have paid for those gloves and the bats and so forth. And, you know, so that instead of having the girls chipping in every time we needed a bat. So that was how it was. Anyways.
The telegraph thing. Do you know anything about the telegraph thing?
Jim Potter, who worked on the telegraph line, and I believe Bill Blackstock worked on the telegraph line. Those are the two that I know. There are other people that also have certain different patterns. They had to be serviced too by the pack trains and so forth.
You couldn't really remember much about the telegraph line.
Well, those are the people that I know of. Very good, that's fine.
You never had any real involvement with
them? No, of course not.
Yeah, but
my father was one of the people who supplied. You see, like, they hired their supplies out to them.
What did the people do for work here?
There was mining here at the beginning, and the logging, and there was no oil or anything like that, so it was a very good thing to cut wood and supply the wood for the people.
Do you get a certain amount of wood?
Oh yes, they're selling by the cord. And you see all the restaurants, the hotel, even the boat, I believe, had to have wood to keep it going or whatever. So the supply, they pick up their supply and they kind of go. And so that was a good lucrative business for anybody who's got horses, of course, to hire me. And that's how the people made the money. A few of the Indians too, you know, they had a camel, you know. Because there's always a need for supply of beef. Like my parents had raised cattle and pigs. They used to breed pigs in this scene, and then sell their pork, and they just about the right size is supposed to find. Because they supply much of it, they supply the butcher shop, they supply the restaurants, and the pork camps. You see, anywhere there's a group of people to eat, hey? So they supply that. So that was my mother's project, according to my father. You know, the cows, you know, my mother's, and the pigs. And so we were up in church, and then my dad would say, so have you fed your mother's cows yet? And the horses were my mother's, my dad's, you know. And so when mother checked us up whether we done our chores, you know, she'd say, have you fed your dad's horses yet? So dad had the horses and she had the cows and the pigs.
How did the people get by when there was no work?
I'm sure I don't know. I know there were very, very few people that ever took relief from the Indian agent.
Everybody usually had a job.
They had their own, yes.
And jobs really weren't that hard to find as long as they
were in the Anybody who's not lazy can certainly make their you know, their will.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always the canaries, you see, they go to the canaries every summer and work at the, you know, work in the canaries. And so they, you know, nobody that I know of seemed to be, you know, very hard on, as I said, there's very few of them. You know, kind of on my own home, wherever people live.
Was that very much?
They didn't get very much. It really wasn't worth it. Now, I remember when the father had TB and a lot of children, $9 a month is what they got. So it's not much.
Did you or anyone close to you ever go to war?
My brother was in the army.
Uh-huh.
My nephews were in the army. The second, you know, I think the second
one. Did they care?
No. My husband was in the army.
What was it like here when the war broke out? It was the attitude of the people.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but there's nothing to do about it.
They just kind of accepted it. Is there nothing of an influx or an exodus towards the war? Did the area change much during the war?
I don't think so. Not that I noticed.
Uh-huh.
Quite a number of soldiers were on the other side of that. Because they had to guard the bridges. You know, they were very big. So you see them around, you know, just people in uniform. But other than that, there were certain wars. And of course the mine, the silver cut mine opened up. And the silver standard mine opened up too, because of the war, I think. And of course the people who come in to mine the mines said, okay, not very many local people here.
It wasn't the world change from America. When you were younger, what did you do for excitement?
We had our own games at home.
What kind of games?
Usually, the questionnaire games, sort of, you know, actually. I think it's part of your education, except you never know what it means. Yes. Much more fun to teach somebody. Make a game of it.
What about the adults? What was the language you tried to make it?
They had the feasts then.
There was a lot more
to the feasts. More fun to them than there are now. You know? Like when they seem to be always, they always had their feasts in the winter time or, you know, in the fall when everybody's not working, you know. And they have to put on their feasts, you know, like the bear of this person, you know, raising the bear. And first of all, the chief would go out and invite people, and he always had his regalia, you know, all the things with the karate, or if you have the walking stick, they call it, you know. Ours was rather so. And others, of course, have walking sticks, you know. Not every had a walking stick or a hopping stick or whatever. It only belonged to certain tribes. So they would go out and invite. This would take days. Because when you're going there inviting a person, that person would, that chief you're inviting, would put up a show for you, what they call halait.
Mm-hmm.
You know, halait and kids.
Mm-hmm.
Is what they call that. And they put up, they say, that's an evening of fun.
Mm-hmm.
dancing and so forth.
And
you know.
It's usually going on for, it could be weeks.
Oh yes, it takes weeks.
Yeah.
And then when they come back from the, you know, they come back and the people who they invite kindly, they'd always have the welcome feasts.
Uh-huh.
They're what they call buggins in Indian. And they'd have the welcome feast. I remember them having a welcome feast right below our house, you know, just on a big field. And it was a moonlight night that night. And the women would always prepare like kerchiefs and that day, or scarves or whatever. And they would dance in front of, you know, they dance around. We have several groups, and they dance around where they're doing this, and put this thing around the neck of whoever you want. You know, it doesn't matter. If you're not a very nice chief, you probably didn't get very many of those. But that's the way they did. But it was fun. It was just fun. And I remember we had, I was up in the upstairs window, watching this going on just below, you know, this moonlight night, and there was snow on the ground, so you could see everything that was going on. And that is so independent.
Yeah.
So, and then of course the feast. They start the feasting then, and then at the farewell feast after it. You know, the end of the, everybody has their own different feast and so forth. And then the farewell after.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes days, sometimes weeks. And that actually is a real entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
They really put on shows when they put those. Like almost everything that they call a knock and the eunuchs that's on the pole, so they each have their own dance, a complete play,
mm-hmm,
that they put on. And they did it then, they don't do it anymore now.
Mm-hmm. When was the last piece that you can remember?
A big feast like that?
Yeah. A proper feast.
When my uncle, when Joshua Campbell put up the pole, and the pole was up there, and they had put on a ukulele that they shouldn't have put on there. It had been given away already.
Uh-huh.
And they put it on, even when my mother told them, no, you can't do that because we gave it away already. But that was so long ago. You know, people have forgotten already. But anyways, they put it on. But sure enough, somebody came and chopped those things off. Pearl.
Uh-huh.
And so, fortunately, my father was, you see, we're frogs. Fortunately, my father and my uncle were the big chiefs in the real family. So they put on a dance, what they call the hash, you know, peace-making dance.
Okay.
And they used all those poles there. They put on this dance, both of them. I sat there and cried to see my father and uncle, who were old then, you know, dancing, going through all these intricate steps of the dance.
Uh-huh.
To make a peace because of what had happened.
What year would that have been?
Hmm?
What year would that have been?
I can't remember what that year was. But anyways, they put this on, and then people from Gitagikla came up, the chiefs from Gitagikla came up, and they put on a dance for this, to make peace about this, you know, what they happened, the Indian power, you know, for this thing. And So that's the I think about the last first year of the email thing that was on when they did that sort of thing.
And you can't remember what that was, when that was, huh?
I can't remember what year. It's easy enough to find out though. What year it was that Paul and that.
We would find out.
Mm. Your uncle's sperm is up there at the graveyard, Tom Campbell. You didn't know what year he died.
And that was the year?
It was after that.
No, did the pole go up because of him?
He cut the pole. He was going to put up the pole.
Uh-huh.
And he cut the pole. It was already here when he died. He was killed in an accident.
Uh-huh.
And, but he said at the time they had this, he put on a feast to for the arrival of the pole. And he said then, that if anything happens to him, his nephew, Joshua Campbell, would put up the pole. And so that was when they did. So it was very shortly after he died that pole went up. And this was when that happened, this peacemaking thing, peace and so forth. So it's easy enough to find out what year, approximately what year it was.
What kind of activities took place in community hall?
The feasts, and the dances, the evening dances, and weddings.
Weddings, what came under the weddings?
Well, usually in the past, every wedding is, even though the couple may have lived together for a number of years, they have a great wedding, they have a wedding. Mm-hmm. And not only that, they march out on the street, from the church to the, from the house to the church, and from the church to the community hall. They march with the band. Mm-hmm. They had a band, and we had a nice band too. And that's the weddings. Even though the people may have been married for, lived together for a good deal as far as that goes in the Indians, that's the Indian marriage is when they recognize them as married. But the church weddings, they don't have a church wedding then, that's what goes on in the community.
What about chivalries? Can you remember any of the chivalries?
Mostly that is a white people's custom.
Oh, okay.
The chivalries. Now I remember the chivalries. We went up to kiss the other's banner and that was the last one I remember was Jack Lee's chivalry when they were married.
Uh-huh.
And Dorothy Love, Dorothy Love. Francis Love. And they had a chivalry for me. They had a big truckload of people go up and this was at midnight or whatever. We arrived here and banged on the door. They expected us such a death. They were ready for us. But it's fun, and then we had a big party. Yeah. And it was really, fun.
What about honeymoons? Did people ever go on honeymoons?
Some did, some didn't.
Where did they go on a honeymoon?
Over as far as they could afford.
Did you ever go on a honeymoon?
No. They were married during the Depression, so they...
Not much going on during the Depression.
So, we didn't really suffer during the Depression, though.
And what was the Depression, though?
To tell you the truth, I never noticed.
Wasn't so.
The only thing was I didn't buy any new clothes because I got married then anyway, it was free, you see.
Uh-huh.
And my dad didn't buy any more clothes. But my husband didn't have enough money to buy me any new clothes, and that was it. You see, and that, they never asked my father for anything.
You didn't really notice prices going up or
Yes, the prices were down, not up.
They were down.
Oh, you can get a dozen eggs for 10 cents a dozen.
Back then.
And how do you know?
Well, it's compared to before the Depression.
Well, I didn't have to buy any. I didn't have to buy any groceries then, so they just simply, went and charged up things, you know, my bag.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really paid any attention to the prices.
Just put it on Dad's bill.
I just put it on Dad's bill. And, but I did notice, you see, because after I was married, then, you see, we had that was when I realized that things cost money. Because we had to pay for it. And at the same time, too, you see, my husband and them were buying their business, and so every little bit of money we made went in to buy the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so we used to buy our eggs by the crates, put it down in water glass, because the prices went up in the wintertime, but it goes up to as high as 45 cents a dozen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we could get them for 10 cents a dozen, you know, direct from the farmers. And that is direct from the farmers you need to get to put it in the water glass.
Did you get fresh food? Did you ever have any fresh food? But during the winter most good, stuff like lettuce and carrots and...
We planted all those.
Yeah, during the summer, but during the winter.
You put them in the root cellars and that.
I guess so.
Yeah, everything, you know, any of the root vegetables you had, we never did on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course we put up our fruit. You see, I learned that at home because now the squad, as I said, we were about 12 or 15 pounds weight. And so I always had to gather fruit and put it back to me. My mother put up jars of fruit by the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have to learn that. Actually, I was simply able to pick up fruit.
Yeah.
I went out gathering the almonds that you didn't have. Put it back.
When did policemen first come here?
I have the faintest idea.
Can you remember any of the policemen?
I didn't have very much to do with them, so, but I don't know when they first came. I know that some of the police who came, only the two of them know that the police who came when Simon Lennon made it, but Martin Glasgow.
Uh-huh.
There were quite a number of them around me. But of course I was too small and I didn't even pay much attention to them.
What were the main businesses in town, and who owned it?
Well, there was the stores and the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
There was quite a number of stores. You know, the Big Sergeant had the store, and the Hudson's Bay was another store. The general store, and there was another store here that we had the Worthies. It burned down, and so I guess it didn't start anymore. But William Hall had a store as well.
William Hall?
Mary's father. He had a store, yeah.
Uh-huh. Where was his store?
Just in the corner, you know, the BIA office.
Mm-hmm.
And just in that corner was where the store.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember where Adam's drugstore?
Yeah?
Down at the office we have a picture of Adam's drugstore, and I can't figure out where Adam's drugstore is.
Adam's drugstore?
Yeah. Can you remember that?
No, I don't remember that. I was not allowed downtown to, when I was a child, much. We were only allowed to go to the store, and there was a Cunningham store, which was down where the, it was on the corner lot, down where the library is. That was where that thing had started. We were allowed to go there, but we were not allowed to go, you know,
mm-hmm.
Around near any place else, you see. My parents told me that you go to a Chinese restaurant over in that lobby, you go to a Chinese restaurant, they have big knives, and then they'll cut your throat, they'll cut your hair off. So...
What do the Chinese community like? There used to be a large Chinese community in town.
I wouldn't say there was a large Chinese community.
There wasn't.
There were laundries, there were no Chinese women.
No women?
No. Just recently that the Chinese women came. Mm. The Chinese who had restaurants and places here, they went back to China and got married. And then they came back here, but they did not bring their wives.
Mm.
They left them in China. We just send money to China.
Okay. Who is the first to have electricity?
Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
I don't remember what year it was. I'm never good at dates. But he was the first one who had a powerhouse down here.
What was the powerhouse like? What was it?
It stood down where the laundry used to be, but also was that was Dick Sargent's laundry day, wasn't it? It was Lou Chung owned that laundry. The powerhouse stood on that lot, you know, down by the river.
Uh-huh.
And he supplied the electricity for, which is direct power, over.
Wait, did he supply the town or just the stone? People pay him for electricity?
Oh yes, we all pay him for all our electricity. And as a matter of fact, they did the water too. He owned the water system to here for a while.
And
we had to pay our money to him.
When did you first get the electricity from the plant up in Utah, or up in, across from the first street?
I can't remember.
Yeah. Early 50s or mid 50s or late 50s?
I can't remember any of the dates that, you know, there's...
Have people changed with the times?
Yes. I certainly have.
What kind of changes?
Not really the change, I'd say. It's just some... There's a lot more drinking going on now.
Mm-hmm.
People don't give quality for the work that they do. It would seem now that they only put in time waiting for their paychecks. No quality.
Mm-hmm.
They're not proud of their work nowadays. The old people who worked here, they were proud of the work that they did.
They were craftsmen.
Yes. And they give very good work. And now they don't.
What about the churches? Did the churches influence the people much? They're men now? Better now?
There were a lot more people, you know, as the Indians' way of living was very much more like the church way of living, you know, the Bible church way of living. They were very strict.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I said, you asked if there's tunes. Yes. They're not as strict as they were.
The churches.
People go to either the churches or the people.
Everything is.
The everything has changed for a little bit for the worse, rather, I'd say. You know? As I said, the craftsmen. They were the craftsmen before. Now they're not. They just simply waiting for their paycheck.
Can you remember the coming of the railroad? That would have been a bit
weird. No, I was the first one not to ride on the river, you know, at our family. I rode on the first train in my mother's arms. It was 1912. I don't know what this, yeah, I was, I'm going to so, but I didn't go around to see what was going on. My face was probably covered, otherwise I would have seen it.
Because you sleep most of the time in your do you remember anything about the amalgamation of the Indian school and the public school?
Yes.
What can you tell us about that?
What can you tell me about it? I was a very busy person seeing that amalgamation.
Uh-huh. You were quite involved with it?
But people. Not officially. No. I'll tell you the reason why I was so very involved in it. During the war, there was no school for the Indians here.
Uh-huh.